This morning we are going to be in Acts chapter 17, so if you want to go ahead and turn there, just a few short verses. It's not really, the verses themselves aren't long, and I want us to look at this passage and then see what we can glean that God has for us today, that we might be more of what He desires us to be. So I'm going to start in chapter 17 of Acts. I'm going to start in verse 10. At this point, Paul had been preaching in Thessalonica, and they ran him out. And after he left, they assaulted Jason, who was the guy that owned the house that he stayed in. And so Paul had to be sent out and by night. And so let's start in verse 10. It says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul in Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brothers sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him, with all speed, they departed." Let's pray. God, as we open Your Word this morning, I pray that Your Spirit, Lord, we know it's here. That's a promise that we have. But Lord, I pray this morning that we would feel it. We would hear You. We would know, Holy Spirit, that You are speaking, and we'd be submissive to what it is You have for us this morning. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for this opportunity to open Your Word. May You be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, like I said, Paul had just been driven out of Thessalonica. They had to even leave by night because the people in Thessalonica did not want to hear the gospel preached. That was the religious people in Thessalonica, by the way, that were against him and after him. And so he was running from the religious people in Thessalonica. And Paul didn't generally run from anybody, but the brethren there in Thessalonica thought it best for Paul to go and be able to preach in Berea. So when he gets to Berea, he goes right to the church. He goes to the synagogue. He goes to the Jewish leaders where they would have their Bible readings, and they would generally come together. And when they came to a place, one person would stand up and read the Scriptures, and then they would discuss the Scriptures. Well, when Paul would come to a town, he would go there, and when they began to discuss the Scriptures, he would share the Word of Jesus Christ. And so as he does that, it tells us some things about these people in Berea. And I love this passage that it talks about them. First of all, it says they were fair-minded, or your translation may say open-minded. They were ready to receive the message. They were ready to receive the message that Paul had, because they were religious people, and they were coming and they had heard about this sect called the Way, and they were there because they were religious people. And when Paul came in, most of the time those religious people, like in Thessalonica, didn't want to hear this gospel, this Jesus stuff. They didn't want to hear that because that went against them. That went against what they had always believed, the Old Testament Jewish law. And so they didn't always receive him very well. Well, here are these people in Berea. When he comes in, they are hearing this gospel that Paul is preaching, and they are listening to it with an open mind. And now, that may seem strange to us, because generally when we come to church, we come with an open mind. We come wanting to hear God's Word. That's our purpose for coming here, is to hear from God's Word and to understand what it is He has from us. Whether it's encouragement, whether it's conviction, whether it's challenging, whatever it is, when God's word comes, when we come, we should come with an open mind. And generally, that's what we do, because we come with a purpose to hear what God has to say to us. Well, that wasn't the custom most places that Paul went. But here when he went to, and so he makes a note of it here. And he says, these people were fair-minded, more so than those in Thessalonica. Well, as I read that passage, I think, how hard would it be to be more open-minded than those in Thessalonica? Because those in Thessalonica just drove him out of town. I'm better than those people in Thessalonica. But that's not Paul. Paul wasn't judging them just against the people of Thessalonica. He was just saying, these people are different. These people want to hear the message. And so they not only wanted to hear the message, they were open-minded. And then it tells us some things about these people. And this is where God has kind of laid on my heart the past couple weeks of where I need to be better. And it is when he tells them that they were open-minded or fair-minded, more so than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness. They were eager to receive the word of God. Now, these people knew religion. And so you would think, okay, well, if you say what goes along with my religion, then I'm going to listen to you. If you say something different than my religion, I'm not going to listen to you. That would make sense. That's what a lot of the Jewish religious people would do, because they had the Old Testament scriptures and that's what they went by. And so here is Paul. He's being sent there by night, but he's bringing the word. He's bringing the word of God to them. The gospel of Jesus he's bringing to them. The truth about Jesus he's bringing to them. It tells us later, and we'll get to that, but they obviously did not believe this beforehand. Here they are, religious people, but they didn't believe in Jesus. And he says that they received the word with all readiness. They were eager to receive the word of God. And as I studied over that and prayed over that this week, I began to look back and think back about before I accepted Christ, how did it come to me? It didn't come through Paul, you know, coming into town and preaching. It came through people that cared about me. People that loved me, they shared the Word of God with me. And I've got to be honest with you, I didn't receive it very well for a long time. I didn't have a very open mind for a long time. But because they kept sharing, it came and the Word of God, and I was able to receive it. And I was able to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Well, the Word is going to come to you. And many of you it already has. And so you may think, well, this doesn't apply to me then. It does, trust me, because He's hammered me for about a week with this. And so sometimes, because we've already accepted that word, we've already accepted Jesus Christ, the truth about Him, then that's all I need, right? And so, I know enough. Maybe I know enough just to be dangerous. Maybe I know enough to understand the truth about Jesus Christ, the fact that He died on the cross for me, the fact that He was buried and that He rose 3 days later and then He ascended into heaven and one day He's coming back for me. I believe that. I know that. I don't need to hear anything else. That's what sometimes we get to thinking. But if that's all we needed to know, and that's the basics and we must know that, we must believe that, but if that's all the message we're going to receive, then why did He put the rest of this in here? Because, you know, most of us as Christians, and I would say probably all of us, do not read the Bible enough. Now, you may read it 2 hours a day, every day, like clockwork. You dive into it, you study it, but it's still not enough. When we think about what He did, any way that the Word is going to come to us, we need to be willing to receive it with all readiness. We need to receive it. A better translation, I think, or understanding is eagerness. How eager are we to receive the Word of God? I can remember for years I would come in and I would sit down and I would listen. And I think, oh, I've heard this message before, turn it off. Or I haven't heard this one like this, and so I'm going to listen. Or maybe there's something in here for me. And there's this whole gamut of ways that I would listen. But then one day I had a professor in college, and he said, if you want to remember what you're hearing, write it down. He said, take and write it down, and then go back Sunday afternoon and read it over again. And then when you get up Monday morning, get up and read it over again. And when you get up Tuesday morning or Tuesday evening, read it over again. Because if you really want to receive it, you eagerly want to receive it, then you're going to do something to make sure it sticks. And so I began to take notes, and it worked. And I was able to remember some of the stuff that I heard. And it made me stop and think, you know, a lot of times I'm not very eager. Because I can look back now, and of course I'm up here behind this wooden box, and it doesn't make me any different, but I wonder how eager I am now. Yes, I want to preach the gospel, I pray every Saturday night, God, do not let me say anything that you don't want me to say, and Lord, help me to say everything you want me to say. Give me the words to say and the passion with which to say them, and I pray this stuff every Saturday night. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to be held accountable for someday before God of what I share with you. And so sometimes I feel like I am more prepared to share with you than to receive for myself. And I think a lot of us are that way. I want to make sure that I know enough, that I study enough, so that I represent it in the right way. And so sometimes I think we as individuals, we want to know enough so that I represent it to everybody else in a good way. So that my family sees I know. So that my friends see that I understand. I want to make sure I represent myself before people so I study and I prepare. But how do I eagerly take it in for myself? So that it changes me. Do I eagerly receive it with readiness? Do you receive the Word of God with all readiness? Well, they came to the synagogue. They obviously were ready to hear the Scriptures. They were ready to hear the Word when Paul came in and he began to speak, and they received the Word with all readiness. That should be enough. That they were there, that they had the right open mind to receive the Word of God with all readiness. Surely that should be enough. Sometimes I don't even match up to that, but surely that should be enough. But that's not where they stopped. It said, after they received the Word with all readiness, they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether it was true. Man, they were ready to receive it. And here comes Paul, and he's beginning to preach the Word of God to them. It's like, well, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to believe what Paul's got to say. I'm going to check the Scripture. And the Scripture that they had, they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They might have had some of it. But the Scriptures that they knew were the prophecies from the Old Testament. And so they were not content just to receive the Word with readiness. They wanted to search it. They wanted to take what Paul was saying and compare it to the Scripture that they had. And they wanted to make sure that it was true. I pray constantly that I would never, ever, ever mislead you. But I am human and I am going to make mistakes. And so my comment to you this morning is, don't ever take anything I say and go wholeheartedly following what Steve said. Go to the Bible and test it yourself. Because I will make mistakes. Not intentionally, but I will make mistakes. But not only that, there are those out there that are intentionally making mistakes. They are preaching a false gospel. That there is no need for repentance. That all you've got to do is just acknowledge God and He loves you the way you are. He gets you. That is a false gospel. Try to find it in the book. It's not there. He says you have to repent and turn to Him. They searched the Scriptures to make sure that what Paul was saying lined up with God's Word. You should do that every single week. Not to search it to try to prove me wrong, but to search it to know that you're right. That what you're hearing is 100% the gospel word of God. Because when you do that, it becomes more personal, for one. These people, it says, they received the word with readiness. But they searched the Scriptures daily to find out. And they didn't even want to wait till the next week and ask some religious person. Man, we heard Paul last week, but we'll wait till next Saturday and we'll go and we'll ask somebody that's older than us, that's been around the Word of God. No, do it yourself. That's our responsibility. That's not just our responsibility, that's our privilege. That's our blessing. To be able to take the Word of God and to search through it and know that it's the truth. And when you hear something said in a Bible study or on a podcast or wherever it is, that you test it with the Word of God. So many times you can get commentaries and you can look at one commentary and it says it this way, and you can look at another commentary and it says it that way. It's like, well, these are both educated people, but they see it differently. Go back to the Word of God. Because that man may have done it in the way he thought. That man may have done it in the way he thought. This was done by the Spirit of God. Test it, search it yourself. Every time you hear the gospel message preached, every time you hear anything that is supposed to be something attaining to Jesus Christ, then you need to test it to the Word of God and the Word of God only. And there's a word in there that we read right over. It said to search the Scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Daily. Daily. Not once a week. Not twice a week. Not four times a week, not six times a week. Daily search the Word of God. Why is that so important? Because it's the Word of God. And if you're going to take my word for it, then you're taking a faulty human being, a sinner saved by grace, you're going to take my word for it? When you can take God's word for it? Search it yourself daily. Well, I do it surely enough, five times a week. I take the weekend off and I just go and listen to you. No. Study it. Search it. And to search it means to look into it and judge it to see if it meets what God's Word says. Because like I said, there are a lot of people out there today that claim to be pastors or teachers, or, hey, I'm just here, a good old boy, I want to tell you about what I understood this past week, what God revealed to me. Well, if God ever reveals to you something that's not in this book, it wasn't God that revealed it to you. And there are a lot of people out there saying God's revealing a lot of things, and they're not in this book. And God never contradicts Himself. God doesn't need to change His mind. So they received it with readiness. Do I do that? They searched the Scriptures daily to find out, to test it, whether these things were so. Man, if you do that, if I do that, what's going to happen? And again, this is the religious people in Berea. Verse 12, it says, therefore many of them believed. Because, not because they heard the word, which faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. We understand that. We know that that's gospel truth. That's what it tells us. But that wasn't enough for them. They wanted to make sure what they were hearing was true, so they searched it. And when they searched it all out, it says that they believed. And that tells me something about these people before they heard. Before they searched, they obviously did not believe in Jesus. There are a lot of people out there that believe some scriptures. But until they hear the Word of God, until they realize the Word of God goes with all Scripture, they will never truly believe. Now, they may believe in a God. They may believe in a name of Jesus. They may believe in a lot of things about religion. But this, in this translation, it says, therefore, many of them believed. That believed changed their life. Because just knowing the Scriptures obviously had not done any good. Being eager to receive it sure helped. Searching to know that it was the truth of God, they came to a point where it said, hey, if this is really so, and we checked it with the Scriptures, and it is, then what's got to happen? We've got to believe in this word, in this message that Paul is preaching. This understanding of what Paul is saying to them. And it says that a lot of people believed, men and women, Jews and Greeks, they began to believe what they heard, that gospel from Paul, they believed it. And it moved them from where they were before, just excited, just going to church, going to the synagogue, willing to listen to any word out there, but then wanting to test it with the Scriptures. When they got to that point, they had to make a decision. Am I going to believe this? And if I believe it, then it's going to have to change me. Now we know these people, like I said, they didn't believe before, and obviously they did after they heard it and they searched it out and they realized it was the true Word of God that Paul was preaching. But you know, we can take this same thing for us as Christians. I accepted Christ 40 years ago, and I wonder, do I receive the Word with readiness enough? Well, surely I've been reading the Bible for 40 years. I still don't know enough. Do I receive it eagerly? Do I search it? Not just so I look good to everybody else, but so that it changes me. And when I hear those things, as Christians, we like to listen to podcasts and we get good information if we search it and test it with the Scripture. But there are people out there that can share an encouraging message with us from the Scripture. And it may come to us in a way that we've not understood it before, but it's the Word of God, and He does that. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's real. It comes to life. But as Christians, we should never be content to just be going to church, to just be eager to hear the word. We should want to search it out, and we should want that searching it out to change who we are. If we come to church every week and we're eager to hear the scripture and we walk out of here and that was good, and we walk out of here and it doesn't change me, then I've wasted my time. Because God wants us to glorify and honor Him every day of our life. And if we, and like I said, I know there are people that are doing this, and I don't want it to sound like nobody's doing this, and I'm bashing everybody. I'm not bashing anybody but myself, because there are days when I do not do this. But God desires us to do this so that we would be able to walk the walk that He's called us to. I was laying there the other night and I woke up and all I could get in my mind was, do you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? I was like, yeah. You know, we all want to hear that. And we know that the only ones that are going to hear that are the believers, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that have realized what He's done for us, and we've received that and we've surrendered our life to Him in Lordship, and we walk following Him. Searching His Word, understanding what it is He's called us to do. But all I couldn't get past the words, well done, faithful. Are we doing good? Or are we just doing okay? Because there's a lot of times in my life in the past I felt like okay was enough. It's not. But I want to hear well done. I want God to say, you did really good. And I want Him to say, a good and faithful servant. Because, you know, God is always faithful. But there are times when we are not. And so we look at these Bereans, and I'm getting ready to close with this. These Bereans, they give us a pattern. Paul writes it down for that purpose. But you know what it says? But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul and Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. When you start doing what you're supposed to be doing according to the word of God, searching His word, desiring His word, hungering for His word, then there is going to be opposition. Expect it. These people came from Thessalonica. They traveled just for the purpose of causing trouble for the spreading of the gospel. And so how do we think we're going to be any different? When God calls us to spread the gospel, you don't think there's going to be opposition? There is. So we have to be prepared for that opposition. Well, how do you prepare for that opposition? Be open-minded to the Word of God. Receive it with eagerness. Search it yourself daily. Take in the Word of God yourself. I've had people in the past say, well, Pastor, where are we going to be next Sunday? I don't know. There's a lot of times on Saturday night I don't. There's times on Sunday morning I don't know. But don't wait on me. Don't wait on me. I'm going to share God's Word exactly the way He lays it on my heart. And 99% of the time, it's what I need first, and you just get the gleaning from what He has for me. So why don't you look to see what He has for you? And get what He has from you from Him. Yes, it's a blessing anytime we can go to a Bible study or a small group or a Sunday school, you know, or youth or VBS or anywhere that we can hear the Word of God. That is a blessing. And we are so blessed to be able to do that. But we are even more blessed when you can take your Bible and you can sit down at the feet of Jesus and hear from Him. That's what we're supposed to do. Because when you hear it from Him, He's going to light some fire in you. And it's going to change who you are. That's my prayer this morning. Today, we need to receive with eagerness. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the word that Paul was preaching was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And everything that Jesus did, how he literally came and died for our sins. Because He paid a price that we couldn't pay. And as I look at this, this is the thought that run through my head. The message that Paul preached was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because that was the message of Jesus. That was the message throughout the New Testament. But Jesus died for your sins. And if you're okay living with those same sins, something's wrong. Christians, that goes for us too. There's so many times we have things in our life. I'm under grace, it's okay. No, that's not the way it works. He died for them. You can't continue to live with them. Yes, I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But there are times in our life that you and I both know we have things in our life that we know shouldn't be there. And we allow them to be there because we think, okay, well, I'm better than I used to be. I used to have three of these things. Now I've just got one. One still killed Jesus. We need to make sure that we understand that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And we receive that word eagerly, never casually. And we search His word to see how He wants us to live daily. Because His desire when He died for you and when He died for me is that we might live for Him. And the only way that's ever going to happen is if I surrender my heart to Him every single day. Not just when I was 21 years old, but every single day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for loving us. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity just to open Your word. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit, Holy Spirit, move in this place. Help us to understand what it is You have for each of us, that we might be more of what You desire us to be. Lord, we love You. Help us to love You more. Lord Jesus, I mean this with all my heart. Come quickly. In Your name we pray. Amen.